Hay quien piensa que la estrella más grande es el Sol. Hay quien no sabe que el Sol es una estrella. La comunidad científica dice que la estrella más grande se llama UI Scuti, pero se equivocan. La estrella más grande eres tú, porque siempre te lo curras al máximo. Rockstar Energy Drink. Tú eres la estrella. Que nada te pare.
Hi everybody, welcome to Yachting International Radio. You're listening to Taylor Tech Stories with myself, Ben Taylor. And today's guest, we've got Miles Cantley, who's the founder of Viveur, who create ambiences for luxury environments. Miles, I'll pass to you to introduce yourself and specifically what your company does, and then we'll go into kind of your career and how everything's progressed.
Cool. Thanks, Ben. Yeah, so ambiences is the key word there, as you've already identified. So how we classify ambiences is made up of three things. There's the fragrancing. So we make the air, we put scenting into the air and make it smell good. There's the temperature and humidity of the air, so we make it feel good. And then there's the air purity, so we make it safe. So those are the three components of an ambience, and we put them all together into a design. That's what we call an ambience.
Right, magic. And I believe these things are for luxury real estate and onboard yachts.
Real estate, yes. Super yachts is where we started. Real estate we spread into a little bit since then, because the customer base is very, very similar in many cases, and what they like on board or in the house is frequently very similar. So yeah, those are the two markets. People often ask me, can we get into hospitality? And I'm like, too busy doing the other stuff.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Magic. So it's all about your journey. So if we rewind and kind of to the start of you're just kind of getting into your professional career. And what does that look like? What's the scenario? Where does Miles begin?
Sure. So came out of school like everybody does. And we went into the family business, first of all, which was an old, long-standing family business, which had been in air conditioning. So we were kind of in the building space, doing offices, houses, that kind of thing. Nothing too exciting. I got bored of it, basically. So it was kind of working okay, but we weren't high enough up the market for our skill set. And I was looking around for other things to add to the air conditioning offering that we already had, and looking for ways to improve it and kind of package it with other stuff. And I came across the concept of fragrancing the air. So I thought to myself, well, this is good. It would go well with the air conditioning. So we kind of put that in the package. And then of course, a couple of years ago, I was starting to think about air purity as well. And of course, COVID then came along, which made air purity a much, much more relevant subject even again. So it kind of built up from the air conditioning base in the family business, but it kind of grew arms and legs because we wanted to package it as an ambience. That was the big insight from my point of view, was turning it into something that we were delivering an environment. So I like to describe it as all the things you can't see, but you can feel. That's what an ambience is. So again, you don't see the fragrancing, you don't see the air purity, you don't see the humidity or the temperature, but they all contribute substantially to how we feel about a space. And that's what we call an ambience. So yeah, it kind of built up from the family air conditioning business, but it kind of grew into an ambience from there.
Right. Okay. So when you're within the family business and you kind of think, hey, I need some excitement, I need some change, and I want to develop this, what's the route to do that? Do you kind of challenge what's normal practice there? Do you look at other industries? Do you go to exhibitions? Like, how do you learn about this stuff?
Yeah, it was interesting. So we actually got asked to do a job way back a number of years ago on a barge on the Thames, which kind of gave us the idea about the whole marine field. And then as I was trying to take the whole thing up market from air conditioning to ambiences, super yachts was what I focused on, because to me, super yachts, it was very obvious early on that super yacht technology in terms of air conditioning systems was way behind what buildings are. And that remains the case. The super yacht market is not big enough. It hasn't got a big enough R&D budget as a whole industry to actually be as far ahead as the buildings market is, because obviously buildings have huge, huge R&D budgets as an industry. So there's a kind of a gap between what the customers expect and want from the superyacht and what they're tended to be getting from the air conditioning providers. And the other interesting thing is that there's not any superyacht air conditioning design firms. Well, there's one, a very good guy in Holland who I know. But mostly the design is done by the manufacturer. And of course, they're biased towards their own products. So there's always going to be a situation where the design isn't as good as it could be. So whilst these super yachts are immense and there's nothing wrong with what's being created, when you turn it into an ambience and you're creating a complete environment for a set of individuals or a family or whatever it happens to be, that's when you're actually creating something really special and the air conditioning is just a part of it.
Okay, with you. And from a very personal perspective and breaking into new industries and being a bit of a disruptor, what kind of challenges arise that kind of shape what you are today?
Yeah, it's a really good point, because this is going to sound weird, but I think one of the challenges was trying to do too much too quickly. The status quo is so far away from where I'm trying to get to that you kind of need to build it up in stages. And so what we're doing now is we're slightly reining back on the whole ambience concept and just saying, right, let's add fragrancing to what you've already got, because that's an easy add-on, doesn't disturb anybody. Nobody's doing fragrancing at all at the moment. So to fragrance the air is easy for everybody. And then once you get in there, it's a case of, well, have you thought about the air quality? They're not typically dealing with the air quality either at this point. So that's another easy add-on. And then it's another step again to say, well, how about we design the whole ambience from scratch? Because if you design the ambience from right back where you've got the end client in mind, the customer in mind, and you're trying to look at a space and say, what do I want to feel like in this space? That's where the interior design should come from. That's also where the ambience should come from, because all these, especially the fragrancing, all these elements, they contribute to how you feel in a space. So if they're not tied to the interior design, you don't get as good a result as you would otherwise. So the challenges have been reining back on the initial ambitions and saying, let's build it up slowly in a way that people can actually grasp more easily at the beginning.
Right, I'm with you. And lessons and hardships, like was there some kind of event or a little story you could tell us about just something that either went really badly wrong and you kind of sat back and thought, ooh, learned something here?
There's definitely been a few of them. As far as lessons go, I'd say two things. One is that the luxury market, the attention to detail that you need in the luxury market is way, way above what we're used to in the more standard markets. And that's a real big culture shift. It's a real big mindset shift. You've got to be much, much sharper across the detail of what is being designed than most of the mass market is really aware of. So that's the first thing. And the second thing I'd say from the lessons point of view is the importance of quality communication, proactively communicating about issues that might arise before they arise is so much better and so much more palatable for everybody in the project management process than waiting till it blows up and then dealing with it, which is what most of the construction industry historically does, is just hope it goes away. You've got to be much, much better than that in these top end environments. So that's a really important thing. Hardships wise, I don't really have any hardships. All my hardships are self-created. I'm trying to grow the business at the same time as having a family, and anybody that does that has rocks in their head. So yeah, I can't complain about that whatsoever. The only story I dare to tell you was one that went wrong at one of the Fort Lauderdale boat shows we did. One of the things we do to introduce the concept to people is we actually fragrance their exhibition stand.
So all right.
That's quite a cool innovation. We did that for one particular boat builder who I won't name. They know who they are. And anyway, so we got to Fort Lauderdale and we'd fragranced their stand for them. And the way fragrancing works is you have a little air pump that pumps the fragrance into the space. And you can set how long that pump runs for. So it might like come on for 10 seconds or go off for 20 seconds or whatever. Just that means you can control the fragrance level really super accurately, which is really useful. Anyway, I got a digit wrong in the length of time the pump comes on for. Okay. So when they first came in the morning, the fragrance was like, and completely blew their heads off. So they basically kicked the machine out the door and never wanted to see it again. So yeah. Sadly, it kind of goes to my attention to detail point. you haven't got very many opportunities. You've got to get it right from the beginning. So my fault, I should have stayed around to check it longer than I did. But yeah, that was quite a little funny story, which shows how easy it is to get wrong.
Things can happen, can't they? It's, I'll tell you what.
It wasn't like it was a customer's boat or anything. You know, it was only a stand. So
yeah. But as far as hardships go, I'd say that's fairly mild. I'd get one in the chin and say, look, your standing didn't smell great for a day, but we'll do better next time, eh? Right, okay, cool. So, Maz, thanks for coming on and telling us about your story and what your company does. That's really good. And thank you to our audience for tuning in. You've been listening to Taylor Tech Stories here on Yachting International Radio. I will see you again next week for next week's episode. Bye for now.